the halachas of Shemitas Ksofim. The last thing that is relevant on Shemitah itself is that the end of the year cancels all debts. So these are the things that are accepted to that, the exceptions. Hamalvis chaver lemispar shanim, person who has a loan that's not due before Shemitah is over. In other words, the due date is sometime next year, anytime. Or there's a 10-year, what's it called, payback date, and it's after Shemitah. So then Shemitah does not cancel the debt, because the debt never became due. It can only cancel debts that became due. If the debt did not become due before Shemitah, before the year is over, then it doesn't cancel that debt. Amalva lamashko, another exception. If somebody loans money and the person that loaned the money, not the borrower, but the lender, has a security to cover the loan. So then it's considered like the loan is already collected because he has that security in his hand. And therefore, the Shemitah does not cancel that loan either. Because the way the Torah says is lo yigos. You can't pressure and collect the loan, but it's collected already. So you don't have to collect it. You already have something that you're holding that is collectible. Okay, debts that were made not because people loan money to each other, but debts that were created because of wages, or you bought in a store. And you owe the storekeeper money for the goods that you took. So the original debt is not cancelable by Shemitah. However, for instance, let's take with the store case, because that's the normal thing. You bought in the store on credit, and the storekeeper gives 30-day credit or whatever, and it became due before Shemitah, and you never got around to paying it, then Shemitah will not cancel that store debt. But if it became due in such a way that really you should have paid it, and now what's it called, the storekeeper extended you credit beyond the original credit, so now it became a loan, that Shemitah does cancel. Okay. The same thing goes with wages. If the wages are owed, but there never was a time where they had to be paid specifically, and just what's it called, the person never asked for them, so you didn't have to pay it on time, or you made up with him that you'll pay him when you can, and it remained wages, then Shemitah doesn't cancel it. But if the time became due and the person said, okay, I owe you the money, right, it's no longer wages, now it's a regular debt. That, the Shemitah does cancel. If a person gave over his collectible debts to a Beis Din to collect for him, he's not going to collect it, like giving it over to a collection agency. You gave it to Beis Din. So you no longer are the one who's collecting the debt, then Shemitah does not cancel it, because it says you can't squeeze the person for the money, but you already now gave it over to a Beis Din. They can squeeze the person for the money, and therefore the Shemitah does not affect that either.
Is the rubber turning to something different than a Prusbel?
Yeah. The Prusbel, you don't actually give over your storis for Beis Din to collect. The Beis Din that you give it over doesn't collect your debts. You end up collecting it. It's like you did it, according to one shita. According to other shitas, it's Prusbel, has nothing to do with that. According to one shita, it's like you gave up. The Chacham considered it like you gave your debts over to Beis Din, but you don't actually give it. They don't collect it. It's not where you actually give your stars to Beis Din, and they're now the collection agency. It just looks like it. That's Prusbel is like it, but it's not, and according to other Rishonim, it has nothing to do with it at all. Okay. In any case, when Hillel saw that people were not lending people money because close to Shemitah, because they were afraid that it would be canceled. And the purpose of the Torah of canceling the debts was for the sake of the Ani, not that he shouldn't get a loan to begin with. So it was defeating the purpose. And since, according to most opinions, Shemitah, the canceling of debts, is only rabbinic, Bisman Hazeh. So because of that, Hillel instituted a prusbel. According to many Shitas, if it would be from the Torah, prusbel wouldn't work. It's only because Shemitah is rabbinic, and therefore, since it's the rabbis who said that it works, so the rabbis can say that under these circumstances, Shemitah will not be effective in canceling the debt. And it's basically, therefore, it doesn't have any halachic validity. It's just that the rabbi said, if you'll do this, we will take away our law of what's it called, of Shemitah applying rabbinically, and it won't apply. That's Pashas how it works. There is another possibility that it's even if Shemitah would be from the Torah, and the rabbis have the power to make money hefker, to take it away from one person, give it to another person, take it out of the jurisdiction of the person it belongs to, and that's how it works, basically. So what Hillel did is the following. Hillel said that if you, before Shemitah is over, you verbally or in writing, say that you are giving your debts over to a Beis Din or over to Edim, shaila whether they have to be like judges or like witnesses, and then they consider it as if you actually gave it over to the Beis Din for collection. You're not actually giving it over to the Beis Din for collection. You're going to collect it. But since you make this declaration, they consider it as if you did that, so it has some kind of validity. Right, they couldn't just make some kind of new thing, jump up three times, and then their debts are not canceled. Right, but this at least has some kind of legal precedent to it. So even though it's not exactly that, just looks like it, that's good enough. Again, since it's all rabbinic, the rabbis had the power to do whatever they wanted with rabbinic things. So they said, if you'll do this, and it has some kind of similarity to something that if Shemitah would be from the Torah, it also would help, even though it's not exactly like that, but it looks like it, that's good enough. And therefore, the idea of a prusbel, right, the word prusbel means, what's it called, a bull is rich people and prus are poor people, and it's something, a takana for the rich people and the poor people. The poor people will get loans, and the rich people get their money back. So, they only were misakin this, though, if the debt was made to someone who owns land, at least a small amount of land. And we assume that everybody has some kind of land, even that they're renting, or that somebody has a place to live, or everybody has four amas in Eretz Yisrael, even an Otzi Tznokuf, all you have is a flower pot with a hole in it, that's also considered land. So, that's not such an issue, right? That unless you know for sure somebody has absolutely no land at all, then there's an inyan to transfer a little bit of land that you own to him, so then the prusbel will work. It won't work on a loan where there's no land at all by the borrower, because that's an unusual kind of loan, to loan somebody money who has absolutely no real estate. So they didn't make the prusbel for unusual cases. So you can give that person a little bit of land or transfer a little bit of land, and then the prusbel will help. The prusbel that is a question like this. Let's read what it says over here, and then we'll discuss it. Mal v'harotza shelo yishmetu chavosav. Right? Somebody wants that his debts that are outstanding to him should not be canceled. Chayv lasu shtar prusbel ad Rosh Hashanah shel shana shminis. He has to make this prusbel before Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. In other words, sometime before sunset on next Monday. The at isha harotza shel yisham tu chavoseh chayev es lasu prusbel. A woman is no different. And if a woman has debts owed to her that are not owned jointly with her husband, right, in her own name specifically, monies that her husband doesn't have control over at all, right, then she has to make her own separate prusbel. Or her husband can be a shliach, and they can write a prusbel that covers both of them. That's usually what we do. By a principal, we write the husband, and the husband says he's doing it also for the wife. Principal perusho shamalva omer shemose chorosav vesim. The basic essence of a principal is that it's a declaration that I am giving my, it's as if I'm giving my debts over to the Beis Din. Okay, now some hold that the Beis Din that you have to give your debts over to has to be a Beis Din Chashuv. Beis Din Chashuv means that it's a organized, institutionalized Beis Din that functions all the time and that has the power to make enactments in the city where they are, and they are respected, and people come to them on a regular basis for to be a Beis Din. That basically is the halacha for Sfardim. The Ramah says that any Beis Din, any three people get together, can be a Beis Din, and that's good enough. It's good to be machmer, to hand it over, we'll see, to a choshev a Beis Din, but that would mean that a person has to go before a organized, legitimate Beis Din and can't just do it Erev Rosh Hashanah with three people that get these three neighbors who sit down to do it. So what we do is a combination. What we're going to do is, I've already made up the shtar, we have a combination of that. We're going to give it over, not in front of a Beis Din Chashuv, but the Beis Din of Rav Osner in Bnei Brak, which is a organized Beis Din. And they gave me today the names of the Dayanim there to put into the shtar. And basically, in front of the witnesses, who are your neighbors, you say that I am giving this through you to the Beis Din and Bnei Brak, even though they're not aware of that we're giving each specific shtar. However, some hold that doesn't help. But then it helps to give it to these three people as a Beis Din. Okay? So whichever one will help, we'll do the best of the two. So therefore, what it says basically, anachnu achasumim mato ma'ashrim bazeh ki osu lekadmona hocha Moshe Matisyahu v'omar lanu hein shana zu hishnas hashmita v'yesh lichovos bishtar ubal peh al anoshim v'al bankim hareini mosu lebezdin v'ir b'nei brak kaloheima harav Mordechai Stern V'harav Avram Chaim Weiss, V'harav Mordechai Gelber, Shekol Chov Sheyeshli, Shagvenu Kozman Sheerza. Vim Ein Mo'ila Mesira Elifnei Beis Din, Hareini Mosu Lifneichem, Shekol Chov Sheyeshli, Shagvenu Bechozman Sheerza. The Hoel there, now the person, Moser Mili de Prusbala Kedah Omer Rabbanin, Kasavnu V'chasamnu V'yom Chav Tes V'chodesh Eul, Chav Shin Samaches, Haishtar the Prusbalok and the Nahagam Yomi the Hill Lazoking or Kitikan Chazal, and then the three people that you're giving it over to, either as Adim, that you said you're giving it Shalobithne the Basin, you're handing it really to the Basin of Bnei Brak, or that you're giving it over to them, if that won't help, right, and then that helps according to the Ramah for sure, that is the Prusbal. Okay. Okay, something seems to be wrong here. The name of the person, there should be a blank here. Ki osu lekadmona, the person, and then hocha, Moshe Matityahu. Mona hocha. The name is here. The so-and-so, Moser Mili Prusbel. I have to check and see. It could be there has to be another space in here. Okay, in any case. But it does mention the name of the person who's doing it, which is crucial. Okay, in any case, so that is the nusach of the Prusbal, and we'll do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, just like Hataras Nadarim. Gam hamakpidim al Beis Din Chashuv, noagu lahakol shesidra Prusbal lo yibifnei Beis Din. Even those that are makpid, that it has to be given to a Beis Din Chashuv, are noheg not to have to give it directly to the Beis Din, in front of the Beis Din, like this. Ela omer bifnei ha'edim, but he presents to witnesses, right, Shemoser Hachov, Ushnei Edim Chosim Shamalva Moser Chavos of the Beis Din Chashuv. Right, and the two witnesses sign that they witnessed the fact that the Malva had intention to give it over not in the presence of the Beis Din to the Beis Din. So then you really need only two people signing. But since that may not help, and you have to give it to a Beis Din, but you don't need a Beis Din Chashuv, then we have three people sign. So either way, they're the witnesses or the judges. Ela migdoli aposkim noeg lasos prusbul hanal bifnei shlosha anoshim amanas shigam sidur aprusbul yeh bifnei shlosha shem beizdin ushlosha elu ma'ashrim shamal v'moshe shtarosu lebeizdin achoshiv shiboso ir kifishim ufura benusach shulakamon. That's a nusach of Yosef, and that's exactly what we do. That we have three people signing it, and it's given over to three people, different people, who are the Beis Din Choshuv in Bnei Brak. Okay.
Why is it that they don't give it to the Beis Din Choshuv?
What?
Why do they not give it to the Beis Din Choshuv directly?
Because then you have to travel to Bnei Brak to do it.
Oh,
it's much easier, right?
Okay.
Okay. The Lechatchila has to be written. But what if you forgot to write a prosbul and you wake up 3 minutes before Shkia on the Erev Rosh Hashanah, you realize you didn't write a prosbul. So then, b'di'evid, you can do this verbally and it takes effect. Okay, well, like we said, if the borrower does not have any land, right, then you can't write a prosbul for a loan where the borrower has no land. So then there's ways of giving him land or whatever, but otherwise we assume that everybody has some land, some way. Okay, ein prusbul moel el al chova shayu kodum atarich bol nasa prusbul. The prusbul only helps for debts that were incurred before the prusbul was written. But if you write a prusbul in the morning and then you loan somebody money in the afternoon, then the prusbul won't cancel that debt because that debt was made after the prusbul was written. And okay. Okay, people who have gemachim, right, should also make a prusbul, not only as an individual, but as the administrator of the gemach, and there are debts that are owed to the gemach also, that there are those that hold that those debts are also canceled without a prusbul. You can write the prusbul at night, and you can also write a prusbul, this is crucial, to dayonim who are relatives of the Lova or the Malva. In other words, you can have, theoretically, the Dayanim, right? In other words, if somebody's related to one of these three Dayanim in Bnei Brak, it's okay. Okay. Aval Osir Shu HaDayanim Krovim Zelazeh. The judges themselves can't be relatives to each other. Shebenikra Bazeh Ein HaDayanim B'chol Nechashim V'Veisin. However, there is a Shaila whether the witnesses can be since we're giving it over to the three people, right, as witnesses, that I had in mind to give it to the Beis Din and Bnei Brak, witnesses can't be relatives of either the Malva or the Lova. So therefore, under normal circumstances, when we'd only be making a prusbul and we consider the three people of your neighbors that you make, like a Taurus Nadarim, Dayanim, they could be even your relatives. But since we're doing it lechumra, that these people are not necessarily the judges, but they also serve as witnesses, then they can't be related to each other, and they can't be related to the malva or the lova. So therefore, you have to get three people who are not related to you. Can't do it with your relatives. Okay. Even if you lose the prusbul, right? The person is believed to say that he had a prusbul and he can collect the debt. Okay, that pretty much covers the halachas of prusbul. Any questions on this? Also, you can be an agent to write a prusbul and give it over for somebody else who makes you his agent. So if a person can't be their heir of Rosh Hashanah, he can appoint somebody to be his agent, and that person will say, so-and-so told me to make this declaration and to write him a prusbul and sign what's it called, and that's good enough. You don't need witnesses that there was such an agency made or whatever. We believe the person is an agent, and we write the person's name to whom he was an agent for, since it can't hurt the person at all if he gets a prusbul that he didn't want. What's it going to hurt him?
You don't need the death of the actual guy that you owe money to?
No. No. He's not involved in this at all. He's not involved in it at all. No. They'll find out later when you collect your debt. He doesn't have to know. Any questions on...
Yeah. If you have a gemach, you should have a separate
prusbul? No, it could be included in the... There's another nusach here. that what's it called? I didn't print it up because most people here don't have gemachs, but I'll print it up for some people who need it or whatever. It says also, and also as the, not just as individual loans, but loans that I have that are as the administrator. Okay.
What happens if the lover is a corporation?
What time is what?
What happens if the lover is a corporation?
The lover is a corporation?
Yeah.
Then fine, it doesn't, what's enough gemina? What's, if what's it called, it depends. If each person owes or the corporation owes as a corporation, it could be the Shemitah is not, doesn't resolve, what's it called, doesn't cancel a debt of a corporation. It's not a person. And even if it does, the principal will help. There's no reason why a principal can't help. But it could be the debt's not canceled altogether.
And the people saying it, can they be members of this corporation as
Aidim? Ah, you mean as well as Aidim. Can they be members of the corporation? If you have debts to a corporation, so the Aidim are relatives of... Better not. Better they shouldn't be relatives of people who are... child is who's the corporation. If every, it's really the people who have controlling votes of the corporation are considered the corporation. Not everybody who has stock in it, whatever. What? Yeah, but it's not only votes, people who have controlling votes. Less than that, must not have to worry. People have controlling interest in the corporation, there they shouldn't be relatives, mustam. Not sure, but mustam. Yeah.
Would that include the moshav? If somebody owes money to the moshav, then anybody who's a member can't be on the...
Somebody owes money to the moshav?
Then anybody who's a member...
No, the moshav owes somebody money. That's, and you don't want that debt to be canceled. You're writing the principal, right? So you loaned money to the moshav, and moshav owes you money. The moshav's a corporation. You want to write a principal that the debt that the moshav owes you won't be canceled. So,
then nobody who's a member of the moshav could be on that
basis?
For those debts, if you have a specific debt like that, yeah, lechora, then you can't be related to one of the members of the Vanan Olam, Mistam. Mistam, I'm not
100%. Just the Vanan Olam or anybody who's a member of the moshav?
No, because not everybody has controlling interest. The people who control the finances, who can make the sign checks or whatever, the Vanan Olam.
It doesn't go the other way. It goes if the moshav owes you money, not if you owe
the moshav owes you money. Well, no, if you owe the moshav money, then the moshav has to write a principal.
Is the moshav doing
it? I'm not sure. Again, it could be that since the moshav is a corporation, it doesn't have to write a principal. That debts owed to a corporation are not canceled because there's nobody who's egos. It's a corporation. I'm not sure. Not sure. I guarantee you that the moshav will write a prosper. Just in case. Yeah?
And for our business, for example, so we need to write a prosper for that, or is it
included
whatever?
No. Whatever you have debts for any other, for any reason possible, is included in one prosper. You don't have to write a separate prosper for every debt or every kind of debt. One prosper is enough.
Are kids included?
Kids. If kids have their own bank accounts, even ketanim, okay, and it's their money. In other words, it's not... Normally, whatever kids own belongs to their parents. But if they have their own accounts or whatever, even if they're ketanim, they should write a prosper.
What if they don't have an account, like official, but they work and they have money, you know...
They have people owe them money?
Like I mean, whatever. I
better be careful of, you know, there's child labor laws. What? They have people who owe them money. They work and they have people who owe them money. And they're ketanim.
Oh, yeah.
They're
then they're not ketanim.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, then they're like anybody else. If they're over bas mitzvah, they're gedolim. And they're like any adult. They have their own money. They're no different than anybody else. No, not if they're over bas mitzvah. The father has no... There could be their somich al shulchan avihem. They're totally dependent on their father, but not so partial. They should write a cotton should write a prosbo, and the father can include them as a shliach. Right? Father can a person can write a prosbo and include his own name and his wife, and probably all his children, but there's not enough space over here for all that. So you can write a separate one for each one. Be a shliach. You can make your husband a shliach, and the children, if they're over bar and bas mitzvah, can make the husband a shliach, and he can write a prosbo for them. If they're not over bar and bas mitzvah, then they should write their own prosbo.
But how can they give over their loan? They don't have das. According to the sheet,
they have enough das if they have das to work and get people over money.
What is
that?
Well, what's the mechanism of, or the technicality of giving it over to the Beis Din Chashuv?
What is the, what do you mean, what's the mechanism?
Well, okay, so we're all writing a prosbo and we keep this piece of paper. How are we giving it over to the Beis Din?
No, you're just verbally giving it, like I said. It doesn't mean that you're giving it over to the Beis Din. It's as if you are. And that's what Hillel is misakin. Because if you actually gave all your debts to the Beis Din, and Rav Vosner is going to collect your debts, okay, he became your collection agency, you don't need a prosbo. That's not a prosbo. That's giving your debts over to the Beis Din, and therefore Shemitah doesn't cancel them. But people don't give their debts. Rav Vosner is not interested in collecting everybody's debts, what's it called, becoming a collection agency. So what Hillel said is, since it's only rabbinic, okay, we're going to make a fiction that really doesn't work. But it looks like something that does work if it would be real, and rabbinically it's going to help, because anyway, the fact that the debts are canceled is only rabbinic. So what we do is we make it look like we gave the debts over to a Beis Din Chashuv, right? And if you had really given it over, it would help Minat Torah. If giving it over in such a way that it looks like you gave it over, it helps Minat Rabbanan. That's how it works.
So Moshe Ari has a good question. Because yeah, if it has to look like it's done for real, when you give it over, when you give your debts over to the Beis Din, that's a kinyan, and the katan can't be machna.
And that's not kinyan. You're giving it to not, what's it called, moser shtoros of the Beis Din. You're not giving them the debt; they don't collect it for themselves. You're making them achroy to collect your debt. You're relinquishing your power to collect it, giving them the power to collect it. That's not kinyan. You're not giving them the debts. You're making them an apitropis. You're making them the, what's it called, the overseer of your debts. Collection agency for your debts. You're not being mocked at them anything. It doesn't become their debt. They don't get keep the money.
Then still, a katan can't make a shliach.
It's not a shliach. It's being moser. I'm giving it over to you. You take care of it. I'm not taking care of it anymore. Yeah.
If the lover in the future refuses to pay after Shemitah.
What?
If the lover refuses to pay.
He refuses to pay? What if he refuses to pay before Shemitah?
Okay, so would it then suit him in Beis Din? Do I then have to go to the Rav Vosner's Beis Din in order to get the money?
No, because he didn't give you stars. You can go to any Beis Din. It's the same thing. What happened is the debt remains the same way it was before. So you can collect it, and you can collect it any way you want. Rav Vosner's Beis Din has nothing to do except for the fact that they are the ones that you direct, so it's called a prosbo. That's all. They have no actual part in all of this.
And they don't have to have knowledge of it.
And they don't have to have knowledge. They do, because I called them today.
Yeah, but they don't know.
But they don't have to know. Prosbo. They don't have to know anything. You. Yeah, because just the debt isn't canceled. Now it reverts back to be the regular debt. That's all. As if nothing happened. That's all. This just takes away the koach of Shemitah to be mashmid. Some people are makbid that they want to mekayim this mitzvah, even if it's only rabbinic, it could be a Torah mitzvah of being mashmid loans. It's a mitzvah, mitzvah saseh, to relinquish the loan that people owe you when Shemitah is over. It's a mitzvah in our Torah. So what some people do is they write a prosbo for their significant loans. People owe them a lot of money. They're not interested in doing this mitzvah if it's going to cause them a big loss. But they want to have the mitzvah. So after they write the prosbo, they go to somebody and loan them half a shekel. And they don't write a prosbo on the half shekel. And then when the person comes to pay him back the half shekel, they say magnanimously, Shamut lach, right? don't want to collect it, it's Shemitah, it's absolved. And the Mekayim a mitzvah with that. And if the other person says, no, I want to pay you anyway, you can take it back anyway and have a mitzvah and get his half a shekel back and everything. Right? You're even allowed to let the other person feel guilty, right? If somebody didn't write a prosbul, and the other person therefore doesn't have to pay you back. So if he comes to pay, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that you didn't write a prosbul, or he doesn't know that there's such a thing as Shemitah. He comes to pay you back the loan. You have to say to him, right, I'm a shamit. I can't collect that loan because of Shemitah. You don't really owe me the money. You have to tell him that, and you have to tell him that the debt is absolved. Then you can look real sad and mean, right? Like, and the guy gets guilty, and he says, yeah, but I'd like to pay you back. You did me a favor. I'd like to pay you back anyway. Then you can say, fine, and you can take it. That's Allah.
Everybody's a shamit.
What?
It's not canceled once you say it's shamit.
It is canceled. Now the guy's giving you a present.
The store owner extends credit.
Yeah.
And some of the customers don't pay him. After a reasonable amount
of time. After the time. After the time that the storekeeper tried to collect, you know, it came, he lets it go for a while, and then he, what's it called, makes a cheshbon, and he says, okay, that's called zoka for love of milveh. At that point, it's no longer credit on the store. It becomes a loan. And at that point, Shemitah will absolve it. Up until that point, Shemitah won't absolve credit on the store.
What do you mean? Shemitah cancels that debt?
If it became a debt, not if it was just the extension of credit where it never became collectible. Now, somebody extends credit, a storekeeper, right, gives you a certain amount of time. And there's, let's say, no specific amount of time. And he waits until the debt gets pretty big, and then he says, look, you know, pay.
Yeah.
And you say, I can't pay. You say, okay, so now it becomes a real debt. Since it was due, yeah, and he extended you credit now, right, from what was due as the store, what's it called, now it becomes a real debt, and now it could be canceled by Shemitah. Up until that point, it can't be canceled by Shemitah.
Could the mashkin be a technical mashkin, like $100,000 loan, let's say, and say, okay, give me your negovashik up?
As a mashkin?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the mashkin has to cover, in other words, that you could actually collect the debt from the mashkin. It's either land or something worth, you have a diamond or whatever, it's a lot of money, that will cover the debt. I'm not sure. But it doesn't make a difference. I mean, what's it called? Right, prosbul. We're not resumich on the mashkin or whatever. Right, prosbul anyway. So.
Can you tell that if the person doesn't meet the loan for next year, then next year the question doesn't.
If the loan isn't due before the end of Shemitah, then Shemitah doesn't think. Not only that, somebody owed you money last Shemitah, and you wrote a prosbul, so Shemitah didn't cancel it, and the guy still owes you that same money this year. Okay. So it's already more than 7 years that he hasn't paid you. So you don't need, if that's the only loan you have, according to many opinions, you don't need another prosbul. That first prosbul, well, the second Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. Once the first one wasn't canceled, it's the same loan, and it's not canceled by the Shemitah either. There is an opinion that the second Shemitah will cancel it, and therefore it's good to write a prosbul even if that's the only loan you have. But according to most opinions, it doesn't cancel. The second Shemitah doesn't cancel.
If there's an extension?
Huh?
If he has to pay you back before Shemitah, he does, it doesn't.
No, if you refinance the loan, it's a new loan. But we're talking, he didn't refinance, the guy doesn't pay you. So it's still outstanding. So the fact that the first prosbul canceled Shemitah from canceling it, that helps even now.
So if he has the first to pay back before on this year, so then he has to.
Then he has to write a prosbul. But if the due date of the loan is after Shemitah, then there's no threat of prosbul.
But the only time when we write, you write a minute before Rosh Hashanah, so that means you already can't write.
You don't write a minute before what?
When do we write?
We write in the morning. Well, the day of, you can write at any time. If you don't make any loans after that.
Paying you late.
What?
As is, then it's paying you late, no?
As it is?
You would be paying you late, because
you're
going.
Ah, you mean, no, it's a, what's it called? It was due and you didn't collect it yet. Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
As far as
far as wages are concerned, if you do work for somebody and then you usually invoice them at a set period of time, you invoice them, and there's a due date on the invoice, they don't pay it, and they don't acknowledge that you sent it either, if there's
a set time for pay the wages and it's past that time, then it's called a debt. No. And then it could be canceled. If it's not past that time, it can't be canceled.
If there's no set time? There's no set time. If they usually pay a month later or whatever, but there's no set time.
So if it came to be collected, right, you demanded it, and they said, I can't give it to you now, even though I'm required to give it to you now, then it's a debt.
What if they don't acknowledge it?
They don't acknowledge what? That they owe it to you?
Yeah, they don't acknowledge it.
So then it's, you have to go to Beis Din to find out if it's a debt. But at that point, l'chora, it's shaylah. They hold it, they don't know it.
Takes away the shmita, or it's that the shmita is still there, but with this principle, I can collect it. Doesn't really get rid of it, does it?
Doesn't get rid of shmita, no. Seventh year still is there.
Get rid of the fact that he doesn't earn the money. No. It bypasses. In other words,
it cancels the koach of Shemitah to cancel the debt. If it's only rabbinic, then it works very partial. If it's minat Torah, it makes it into the kind of debt that the hefker pays in hefker. Right? So
after Rosh Hashanah, the only halachas of Shemitah that really just stop is Vodas HaKarka.
Right. Anything that has to do with the Kedushas Shvius, there's things that still have Kedushas Shvius. Anything that has to do with Svichim, they continue the Isra of Svichim till Hanukkah for many things. There's still Halachas Lagabi, the produce of Shemitah still goes into the year after Shemitah too. The only thing is that the only thing that's for sure not a problem is you're allowed to water your plants and you're allowed to plant things and whatever. Avodas Karka is over on what's it called, the Shkia of Erev Rosh Hashanah.
When can we start buying flowers that are...
So you have to know what. If they were Shomer V'Neved, if they were worked on or planted during Shemitah, you can't buy them. So it's not a question of when you can start buying them. The question is, you have to know where you're buying them from. And that applies throughout.
I assume you can't know. You have to simply just assume that the market is...
You can't assume. Wait, flowers? I mean, stamp, like cut flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's...
Things like cucumbers and tomatoes that became Kedushas Shvius right after Rosh Hashanah last year. So after Rosh Hashanah this year, are they still Kedushas Shvius?
They're. What's your question? They're Yevul Nochri, and they basically were gathered after Shemitah, and they were. It's possible right away that if they were finished completely before Shemitah, even though they were gathered after, where they could still have Kedushas Shvius. But if a week later, right, so they weren't finished when Shemitah, then Lechara, no more Kedushas Shvius. And they're not Svichim because they're from Goyim. So there's no Kedushas Shvius, no, there's no Kedushas Shvius. Right. If they're Jewish things, they're still Svichim. For some things, till Hanukkah.
You're going to have signs in the store that still say you will not hurry, but it's going to have no Kedushas Shvius.
Right. What?
What did you say wasn't
so bad? Svichim. That things that were grown by Jews, vegetables or whatever, even if they were planted after Shemitah is over, they're still going to be osir. Because the Rabbanim were afraid that people would say that they're from after Shemitah and they're really from before. So until there's no more on the market of Shemitah things, they assured across the board a lot of the Svichim. But we'll get to that after Rosh Hashanah. We'll say what things are still assured. It'll be in the stores. It'll be later. You won't get those things. The Svichim. It'll still be a problem to buy stam in a vegetables, right? Which normally you could buy. You take off Trumas and Maestras. Till Hanukkah is going to be a problem buying vegetables and just on the store. You still have to buy in a place that's, you know, special halachas or Shemitah or whatever.
When's the next year? It's in Cheshvan.
What?
Next year is in Cheshvan.
The next?
Shear
is in, yeah, could be. Okay, so basically the stores will not, if you're buying the stores with the hechsher that we have, it's not going to be a problem.
Ishrichag is Wednesday.
What?
Ishrichag and Sukkot is Wednesday.
Wednesday night is after Ishrichag.
Right.
We'll see. We'll announce it for the Ashurna.